Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. I'm joined right now live via Zoom by a fine guest friend of ours. He is pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin from the Marquette University Law School Poll. Charles, welcome back.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Buddy, I damn near missed the fact that you were dropping some new national polling this morning. I'm glad I caught you. And I'm so glad you answered the call today, Charles, because we'd hate to miss you on polling day. This poll primarily about the U.S. Supreme Court, Charles. Do I have that part right?
Yes, that's right. We will release more numbers tomorrow on national political issues. But today it's about the Supreme Court, and it's a busy term at the Supreme Court.
Well, certainly it is. And Charles, I guess I'm always a little surprised, and maybe I shouldn't be, but the Supreme Court is the most popular branch of government. And people, and you've polled them, they respect the Supreme Court, all things considered.
Yeah. One of the things that we do see, and we've been seeing it since 2019, is a substantial percentage rank the court as the most trusted of the three branches of government. And that hadn't changed very much. But approval of the court has moved over that time. And so what's kind of weird here is that approval of the court moves down and up and whatnot, but that most trusted branch number really hasn't changed very much. Part of it is when your party is in the White House, you trust the presidency and your court support goes down. But if your party's out of the White House, and goodness knows you're not going to trust Congress more, it goes to the court. And so that's one of the things that helps keep the court stable. It's different partisan groups that are giving it a high rating, but it balances out over time and doesn't change. That's one reason we've shifted to looking a little more attention at approval of the job the court's doing, because there we are seeing movement from month to month and especially from year to year.
Well, Charles, I guess that begs the question, what are, according to your polling, the current approval levels of the court?
Yeah, it has fallen pretty considerably from, let's say, a little over a year ago, September of 2020. At that point, approval of the court was up in the 60s. In July, it was still pretty high, in the high 50s. But then in September, after the court made some controversial rulings in August and 1st of September, it fell off quite a bit to about 50% approval. It's edged up just a little bit to 54 or so now, but that's actually quite a bit of movement. And it's interesting that after a full year of the term that Amy Coney Barrett joined the court, approval stayed pretty solid, and it stayed pretty solid among Democrats and Republicans, who were at 57 and 59% approval of the court in July. But then all this controversy came out in August and early September, and we saw it drop off, and especially drop off with independents who fell a lot and Democrats that fell a whole lot.
Well, you talk about
Democrats rebounded just a little bit in this latest poll, but only a little bit.
You talk about controversy before the court. A lot of that came from the Texas abortion issue. But before we get there, Charles, the politicization of the court, if I said that right, politics. There are times when I think the court's doing just fine. You see 9-0 rulings and you think, man, I never knew they could be so, you know, unanimous in their decision making. But then a politically charged issue comes before the court, and you wonder what motivates them. You know, be it Amy Coney Barrett a year ago taking the place of RBG. Well, one was a liberal lion, and the other one is anything but. So, Charles, how do those polled perceive the politicization of the courts?
Yeah, we see it in several ways, and I think that politicization is exactly the issue that we've been dealing with for a number of years, and it's certainly right in front of us now. There are a couple of things that we see. One is that if the court does something you agree with, your approval goes up. If they do something you disagree with, your approval goes down. And so in that way, the court is sort of like other political institutions. We judge it based on its outcomes. You know, very few of us have a law background, including me. I'm a political scientist. And so we're not going to judge the court by the nuances of their legal argument or whatnot. We're going to judge it by whether it did what we wanted or not. And so that's one thing that moves opinion about the court. Because we are so divided by partisanship, and for some of these issues, especially divided by ideology, liberal or conservative self-identification, those are also things that really structure our views of the court. Having said that, I think in the last year, we did see a lot of 9-0 or 8-1 or 7-2 rulings that got a group of some of the liberal wing and some of the conservative wing, or all of them together on the few rulings. One way that they did that was to make narrow decisions on cases that might be more controversial if they had issued a broader reading, and it would have splintered the court more. But in this term, we have abortion issues, we have gun control issues, we may have others that still come to the court. And again, the court could decide to do those in a narrow way and sort of damp down the partisan and ideological differences. But on some of these, they may reach for new doctrine or expansion of past rulings. And if that happens, I think we'll see deeper divides if they go pretty far on a ruling that one side or the other is just bitterly opposed to.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. He is pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin. Well, Charles, they already crossed that line, as far as I'm concerned. The line they crossed was the failure to stay the 6-week abortion ban in Texas. No exceptions for incest or rape. And the fact that they, you know, deputized vigilante citizens, such a workaround incorporated in this legislation to effectively keep the state out of court as a defendant. So you've got this novel approach, and you've got a law that clearly is in contrast to the ruling of Roe v. Wade, and the courts were asked to stay it, and they chose not to, and they lost some faith of mine. At least I lost faith in them. Charles, did the American people take a similar ruling of the Texas law?
Yeah, the public is very negative towards the Texas law. When we asked specifically about the law, only 20% are in favor of that. And I'm sorry, I've lost track of where I am on my little cheat sheet here. A solid majority are opposed to the Texas law. A small minority are in favor of it when you ask specifically about the law. We also asked about the issue that the court heard last week on whether the federal government should be allowed to sue Texas over this. And there, a plurality of people think the government should be allowed to sue. Only a minority say that it should not be allowed to sue. So in both of those, opposition to the Texas law is apparent. But when you ask specifically about the law, the opposition is very strong. When you ask about whether the federal government should be allowed to intervene, not surprisingly, a lot more people go, I don't know about that issue, because it's not about the substance of the law. Now, what you were saying earlier about the court failing to act in late August, early September on the Texas law, lots of people see that as a substantive ruling. No matter how much the court is saying, wait, we're not judging the law, we're just judging the procedure here. But their choice was to allow that law to go into effect. And so for a lot of people on the pro-choice side, they saw that as very much ignoring the rights that are supposed to be protected by Roe. And so how you see this is a big deal. But the Texas law itself, and even this procedural case now before the court, both get more people saying they're, in effect, against the Texas law than for it. That's pretty clear from our data.
But Charles, the real threat to Roe v. Wade, those that, you know, would oppose the overturning of what they thought was decided law is probably more likely to come from the Mississippi case you referenced. That case is a 15-week abortion ban, and that case does have some exceptions. And that case probably more closely monitors science, current science, and viability outside of the viability of the fetus. So where did the polled electorate come down on the Mississippi law?
Yeah, and this law is going to be argued before the Supreme Court on December 1st. So it's coming up for a hearing and oral argument real soon now. What we found on this one, so the question is, a law that bans abortion after 15 weeks, but with some emergency and abnormality exceptions, 37% would support that law, 32% would oppose it, and again, 30% say they haven't heard enough about it to have an opinion. So a plurality, 37 to 32, sort of favor that law. This, though, is in line with polling about abortion that we've really honestly seen since the 70s. When you ask about keeping Roe versus Wade or overturning it, by more than 2-1, people say they want to keep Roe versus Wade, keep a right to an abortion. But when you ask about particular restrictions, like how about this many weeks, how about that many weeks, support varies depending on how extreme the number of weeks are. So when we ask this time at about a 15-week ban, you see this 37 to 32 saying, yeah, I could do 15 weeks, that's okay. Even as we're seeing the 2-1 saying, no, do not strike down Roe. And that's just a long-standing aspect of abortion policy in this country, that people will accept restrictions even at the same time they're saying they don't want to undermine the fundamental right.
My fine guest, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire. More polling coming out tomorrow. And maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself, Charles. But tomorrow's polling, will that include any polling on vaccine mandates? I'm dying to know about that one.
Yeah, well, we do ask about mandates. We also ask about Donald Trump running again and a head-to-head of Trump versus Biden. So stay tuned for some rock'em sock'em action on those things.
Well, I know you're quite busy tomorrow, so we booked you today, so I'm not going to know all those answers, not in real time. But Charles, you did poll again regarding the U.S. Supreme Court. There's a movement afoot, if you will, to unpack or add more seats to the court or whatever is necessary to bring what liberals would perceive as equilibrium back to the court. How did the polled electorate look at this plan, this scheme? How is it viewed by the people, Charles?
Yeah, we've been asking this since 2019. So we have a long series of times in the poll. Right now, it's about an even split on expanding the number of justices. It's 48 in favor, 52 opposed. So about an even split. That's a little tighter than it was beginning in 2019 when we first asked about it. And so there has been a bit of growth in support, but it is still essentially a tie, an even thing. We also asked about term limits for the justices instead of the life term that they can now serve. There, it's big support. 70%+ would approve of limiting the length of service. But unfortunately, that would require almost surely a constitutional amendment. So it's not a very practical change. And then finally, we asked about restricting the jurisdiction of the court, limiting how much they could overturn acts of Congress. There, most people are opposed to that change. So those are the three changes to the court that we've asked about.
Well, I thought that was entirely their job, or at least they act like it sometimes. Charles Franklin, he is a pollster extraordinaire. That is his job. He's got some more polling dropping, national polls. Charles, we always appreciate when you come around and share your insights with our audience. Thanks for doing so again today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, the pleasure is all ours and my audience. Thank you, Charles. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll open up the phone lines, 844-967-2789. And the House has moved to censure Gozer, the Republican. We'll tell you all about it. Come back with us. Give people what they want. Give people what they want.
man, I've got certain information, all right? Certain things have come to light,